Ruth chapter number 2 in your Bible tonight. Isn't it good to be in this place? I like the atmosphere. I hope it gets a wild praise. God, we have to get a CNI dog, amen? I am not ashamed of old-time religion. I'm not ashamed of our heritage. Thank God for it. And I'm glad to be in the service tonight. God is so good. We appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Sometime we laugh together, sometime we cry together, and sometime like tonight we just shout her out. But they've already seen your car over here now, so you might as well go ahead and just enjoy yourself. It'll beat you back to work tomorrow. You was at Gateway last night, wasn't you? Was you one of them with your hands up? Just go ahead right now and do it. If you're saved, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, just wave them a little bit. Praise God. Turn around to somebody and say, I don't care what they say about you, I'm saved, amen. Praise God. Enjoy the good singing tonight. Brother Ray's boy is a bass singer. Man, I'll tell you, he's right on up there with Brother Mike. No, he ain't quite as good looking as Mike, but he can sing, I'll tell you right now. And I appreciate that so much. Good to have Brother Kurt, and he's a real blessing. And I love Brother Ray Stewart. I appreciate his spirit of hospitality. And don't you appreciate the way Gateway just opens the doors and lets all the strangers come in? And if you don't think these people love God, brother, they even let Yankees come to this meeting. Most redneck churches won't let Yankees in, amen? Ours won't, but anyway, we're glad they do. Oh, boy. But I'm glad in the grace of God there's neither Rebel nor Southern nor Yankee. Well, I don't know. But yeah, we're just part of the body of Christ. And God has been good to us. I want to read tonight a verse of Scripture, but I want you to keep your Bible open from the book of Ruth, chapter number 2. And I want to read verse number 14. I have heard this phrase mentioned no less than 3 or 4 times since I've been in this meeting tonight by different ones. The testimony the brother gave, one of the songs, one of the testimonies. And I've had this on my heart since Monday night about midnight. And I want to preach this so bad, I can't stand it. Now, when I was in homiletics, our homiletical instructor said, don't get ahead of yourself. Lord, I ain't worried about it. So I got these verses I'm going to read. And I got this neat little outline I've come up with. But I just got a feeling I'm going to read some scriptures and have me a fit, praise God. And so if this sermon doesn't seem to be structured, bless God, we're not in homiletics, we're at camp meeting, amen? And if you don't believe it's structured, I'll give you a copy of my little thoughts I got together. But I want to preach this so bad, I can't stand it. So I think when I'm going to read this verse, I'm going to talk about it, shout a little bit, and then just see what happens. Can you tell I'm excited about it? Well, I like it when God gives me a little something. And boy, if you just enjoy it half as much as I've enjoyed just trying to hold it back since Monday, you're going to have a good time. But I've heard this phrase mentioned 3 or 4 times since I've been in the meeting tonight, and I believe this is what the Lord would have for us. Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 14. And Boaz said unto her, speaking of Ruth, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And I want you to notice the next 3 words in this text. My God Almighty, look at this. And he reached. And he reached. If I just stood here and read that for 5 minutes, that'd be enough to shout to Gaffney and back. And he reached. That young man said a while ago that God reached further down than he could reach up. And I want to echo that. You better believe it. Thank God for the reach of God's amazing grace. Let me shout one time and I'll be back in a minute. Whoo! And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And I want to use that phrase tonight in verse number 15 where it said, and he reached her. And I want to preach tonight for 3 or 4 hours, praise God, on his grace reaches me. Aren't you glad for that day in your life when God reached out and touched your life? I love to read from the book of Ruth. What a book, what a story. What a picture of the grace of God. I love the label on this book, the book of Ruth. It shows how God can take a Gentile born away from the covenant, born outside of the promises, and bring them out of nothing into everything. And if you're saved tonight, that is exactly what God has done in your life. He brought you out of absolutely nothing and put you in the midst of everything. I like the location of the book of Ruth. God put it right between Judges and 1 Samuel. In Judges, you'll find the dark gloominess of man's rebellion and depravity. Over and over again in Judges, it said every man did that which was right in their own eyes. But then the next statement you find throughout Judges is, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And any time man does right in his own eyes, he'll do evil in the sight of God. And the book of Judges is filled with one sin and one judgment and one rebellion after another. But oh, in 1 Samuel, Israel is in the glory. David is the anointed king, and Israel is enjoying its glory days. Judges is a book of gloom, but 1 Samuel is a book of glory. But between the gloom and the glory, you got Ruth, a picture of the grace of God. We were in the gloominess of our depravity and rebellion. Now we're in the glory of God's wonderful salvation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you'll never go from the gloom of your sin to the glory of God's salvation unless you go by and through the grace of God. I love the lessons of the book of Ruth. There are some wonderful balancing truths found in this 4-chapter book. 2 great themes of the Bible are explained very vividly in the book of Ruth. The sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I am not a hyper-Calvinist. But I am a sovereigntist. God is sovereign. God knows the end before the beginning ever gets started. I promise you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that God is not up in heaven looking at one of the angels and trying to decide what he needs to do next. Did you know that God had a plan? Well, I hope you don't choke on this. God had a plan of kinsman redemption before Ruth was ever born. God had a plan of kinsman redemption before Naomi and Abimelech ever moved from Bethlehem, Judea down to the land of Moab. Before there was ever one sinner, God already devised the means whereby the sinner could be justified. May I remind you tonight that Calvary and the cross was not an afterthought nor an accident with God. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ain't never occurred to God? He had a salvation provided before thou was ever a sinner. That's the sovereignty of God. But yet I see the responsibility of man. Ruth had to decide to leave Moab and go to where the kinsman redeemer was. She had a choice to make. She had a will to exercise. She could have turned back to the Moab gods just like her other sister-in-law, but she didn't. For grace, glory to God. Can I shout one more time? I'll be back in a minute. Whoop! For grace had done a work in her heart. And she said to Orpah, you can go back to them little gods if you want to. And she said, but to her mother-in-law, I hadn't heard enough about your God. I want to know who he is. In fact, I'm so serious about it. Where you go, I'm a-going. And where you live, I'm going to live. And where you die, I'm going to die. And I want your people to be my people. But more than that, I want your God to be my God. And she turned her back on them idol gods. All she ever knew in Moab about God was statues of wood and hay and gold and stone. All she knew about religion in Moab was a smoke-filled temple built to the honor of a dead god. But when she crossed the River Jordan and stepped her foot inside of the sweet promised land of the Redeemer, she met a living God and a real God and a holy God. The sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. She could have stayed in Moab and died in Moab and went to hell in Moab. But she turned her back on Moab and left the land of her nativity and left her mother and left her father and got brought into a royal family. Thank God for God's sovereign plan. And God is so sovereign, it didn't bother him one bit to give man a will and a choice. I'm glad one day I made the choice. I said, Jesus, I'll take you. I said, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Like the songwriter said, out of my bondage into thy light, Jesus, I come to thee. Aren't you glad the God of this Bible, through his son Jesus Christ, can put on the balances and put it correctly, the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man? I'm glad God fought salvation. Jesus bought salvation. The Holy Ghost wrought salvation. The Bible taught salvation. And I got salvation. Thank God it didn't be good tonight to be in the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. I love the balancing of the book of Ruth. Law and grace. This is a vivid picture of the grace of God. In fact, any move of God towards you and I is grace. Any look from God to you and I is grace. Any pathos, a word from God towards fallen man is grace. For God just to think of us, that's grace. For God just to speak to us, that's grace. For God ever to take the initiative toward us, that's grace. For God to let you live before you died and went to hell so you could hear the gospel, that's the grace of God. How God reached down in the miry clay of sin and in spite of who you were and what you were, saved your soul from a devil's hell. Do you realize grace is God doing for the sinner what the sinner could never do for himself? I couldn't save myself. I couldn't redeem myself. I couldn't erase my past. But God did for me what I couldn't do. And it's called grace. God's amazing grace. Oh, yeah, but I see the law. You see, where do you see the law? In the book of Ruth, Boaz is doing his redeeming because that's what's in the law. He is exercising God's sovereign decrees on behalf of an undeserving sinner. Can I quote a scripture? For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'm glad at bloody Calvary. My God, I feel like preaching. I'm glad at bloody Calvary. He got the law in one hand and grace in the other hand. And mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Thank God, I'm glad. I'm glad the law was fulfilled to the minute detail and the grace of God was extended to every sinner. And aren't you glad the Bible still proclamates, whosoever will, let him come. I'm glad he came for sinners. I'm glad he bled for sinners. I'm glad he died for sinners. I'm glad he invites sinners. And one day this old sinner responded to the call of God. And he reached me. He reached me. He reached me. He reached me. Woo! And brought me in to the grace of God. Chapter number 2 is another, Chapter number 2 is another table scene in the Bible. Boy, aren't you glad Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And he invites not his frozen people, but chosen people. Come and dine. She's brought in the table. That's not the only table scene you'll find in the Bible. What about 2 Samuel chapter number 9? When old Mephibosheth got brought back to the palace, David said, come sit at my table. Put your crippled feet under that table. And when they walked in David's house, they couldn't see his crippled legs, for they were hid by the Father's table. Aren't you glad tonight when God sees us and heaven sees us, he doesn't see us in the rags and the mess of our sin, but we're at the table of the Lord. God's got a table spread, and thank God, isn't it good to have a place at God's table? David said in Psalm 23, the shepherd prepares a table for the sheep in the presence of his enemies. Luke chapter 15, when that prodigal son dropped the pail, kicked the rail, and hit the trail, the father said, come to the table. I'm glad at the table he remembers the sinner. I'm glad at the table he refreshes the sheep. I'm glad at the table he restores the son. But oh, in Ruth chapter number 2, at the table he reaches the stranger. I got to shout one more time. Woo! He reaches the stranger. Now she's in his house and she's at the table. The first thing she does in verse 9 and 10, the Bible said she bowed on her face on the ground and asked this question. Why have I found favor in your sight, seeing I am a stranger? Can I interpret that in plain old South Carolina language? Why in the world would somebody as wonderful as you ever look kindly on somebody as unworthy as I am? I feel like saying, Ruth, don't ask no questions, baby. Just enjoy the benefits. And let me ask you this tonight. Have you ever, since you've been saved, got overwhelmed with the thought of it? Can I back up and say that again? Have you ever, since you've been saved, got overwhelmed with the thought of it? Let me say it like this. Since you've been saved, has God ever got bigger in you than there was room for him to grow? Let me say it like this. since you've been saved, have you ever got a case of I can't help it? And you just got flabbergasted, blown away, overwhelmed. Woo! At where you were and where you are now. Oh, listen to that line in Brother Kurt's song. Do you remember? I well remember. Do you remember when nobody gave you a chance? They said you'll amount to nothing. And God reached. I said, and God reached. And God reached. And every once in a while, you bow before God and you get overwhelmed. And you say, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Don't ask no questions, baby. Just enjoy the benefits. Woo! Why? And he looked down at her and he said, the Lord bless thee and give thee a full reward because you've come to trust under the wings of the Lord God of Israel. Oh, do you remember when you left the land of Moab and came to trust under the wings of the Lord God of the Bible, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? And he said, I'm going to tell you something else. At mealtime, you come into house with us. You drink the water. You eat the bread. What I got's yours. And she said back to him, I want to ask you one more time. Why have you spoke such comfort to me, seeing I'm not like one of your maidens? Seeing I'm not like you fellas, how can you treat me so good? I'm not one of yous. He said, take that back. You didn't used to be one of us, but you are now. Woo! You didn't used to be one of us, baby, but you are now. You're one of us now. You're one of us now. Lord God, I wasn't a sheep. I wasn't a child of God. I wasn't in the family, but I am now. I am now. I was not a people. I was a stranger. I was an alien. I was a foreigner. But now he reached me. I've been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. I wasn't, but I am. Woo-hoo! She said, I still don't understand it. You ain't got to understand it, baby. Just enjoy the benefits. She said, I can't explain it. You don't have to explain it. Just tell it. Woo! You ain't got to explain it. Just tell it. God didn't say go explain the gospel. He said just go tell it. Why? How do you explain? How do you explain? You were nothing on your way to hell, and tonight you're saved and on your way to heaven. You can't explain it, but I'm glad, thank God, we can tell it. And at this table scene, the Bible said she is sitting beside the reapers. So I believe Boaz, whoo, I'll be back in a minute, I gotta shout one more time. Whoo! If she's sitting beside the reapers, I believe Boaz is sitting across the table, and now they're face to face. And the Bible said he reached her parched corn. I believe he reached and got a handful. Glory to God, I'm about to shout again. And reached across that, glory to God. Son, when I saw that, when I read that, God jumped in my soul. You know what I saw? Oh, God, you know what I saw? You know what I saw? I saw a nail-pierced hand from Calvary. He reached across that table. Brother, when he reached across that table, he reached across that table. Do you remember that day, that morning, that hour? When you was a sinner by birth and by nature and by choice, and the Holy Ghost put you under arrest and drug you to bloody Calvary, and you said, oh God, I ain't one of y'all. I ain't got nothing to do with y'all. I'm a stranger. And God said, not anymore. And he reached. Lord God, and he reached. Oh, hallelujah. He reached. I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight. You just thank God for that day and that hour when your mama couldn't reach and the preacher couldn't reach. Whoop! And you couldn't reach. God's grace, he reached. He reached. His grace reaches the sinner. Hallelujah. Whew. I got some points I'm going to try to give you. Then I'll go explode later. When he reached across that table, it was a reach that shattered her past. Glory. Woo! When he reached across that table, he reached beyond who she was. He reached beyond where she was from. He reached beyond what she had lost. He reached beyond her poverty. He reached beyond her sadness. He reached beyond her destitution. Oh, aren't you glad that night when God reached? From that night forward, it no longer mattered who you were, where you were from, what you had done, how bad you was messed up. Thank God, aren't you glad the strong reaching arm of the grace of God can reach beyond your birth, reach beyond your past, reach beyond your shame, reach beyond what you used to do, reach beyond where you used to be. Aren't you glad God loves sinners and God saves sinners and God invites sinners? He reached way back. She was not born in Bethlehem. She was born in Moab. She was born alienated. She was born outside of the covenant. She was born in enemy territory. But honey, when the grace of God reached across that table, it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. Oh, you say, preacher, if you only knew what I've done, it no longer matters. But oh, preacher, if you just knew my family tree, it no longer matters. But oh, preacher, if you could see the mess, it no longer matters. Do you, well, glory to God. Do you realize Ruth was left so destitute? She had nothing to bargain with. She had nothing to approach Boaz with. Brother, everything she had was gone in the death of that first lover. All she can do, boy, you better get a hold of this. All she can do is come just like she is. Did you hear what I just said? All she can do is come just like she is. Can I say that one more time? All she can do is come just like she is. Born in the wrong place, bankrupt, poverty stricken, destitute, doesn't know where the next meal, doesn't know where the next day. She has absolutely nothing. But I'm telling you, the reach of the grace of God goes beyond where she was born, goes beyond where she has nothing. Aren't you glad when God saved you in spite of your sin and your past and your shame? He loved you anyhow, saved you anyhow. That's the reaching grace and mercy of Almighty God. Woo! And you too were like Ruth. You had nothing to bargain with God. And you know how you had to come? Just like you were. Someone said, well, I'm going to clean up and we'll see. You just come to God, He'll clean you up. Well, I'll change and then we'll see. You just come to God and He'll change you. Oh, but I got some stuff I got to get straightened out. I'm telling you, if the Holy Ghost ever puts you in a corner like He did me, you'll find out you're bankrupt. You have absolutely nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing to bargain with God. You'll have to sing with the songwriter. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. But aren't you glad God is able to reach beyond your nothing, reach beyond your poverty, reach beyond your past? Aren't you glad for the long reach of God's amazing grace? Woo! That reach shattered her past. Number two, that reach satisfied her present. She don't have any food to eat. She don't have any water to drink. She don't even have a family because she's cut all ties. But Brother Stewart, when he reached across that table, He brought her out and brought her in. Amen. She comes up there and the Bible said it was her hap. Aren't you glad when they bless God, God got in the middle of your hap? Amen. Amen. Happy, happy, happy hap when Jesus washed my sins away. And she lighted in that field. Boy, she's out there not with the reapers. She's out there with the gleaners. Just getting a little bitty piece every once in a while, but that's better than starvation. But wait a minute, there's somebody down at the end of the field who's wealthy, worthy, and willing. And his name is Boaz. And the Bible said he saw her. Did you get a hold of that? The Bible said he saw her. Oh, thank God for that day when God saw you. Can I just stop and have me a spell? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that He watches me. Thank God for that day when I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He saw her and said, she's mine. He put a claim on her. They said, now wait a minute, don't you know who that is? He said, it don't matter. But I got to tell you who that is. That's Naomi's daughter-in-law. You heard about all that mess that happened to them down yonder. And they ain't got nothing. They're just left to the mercy of humanity. He said, oh no, not anymore. Remember the plan? I'm a kinsman redeemer. He said, I tell you what I want you to do for that old girl. He said, do more than just let her be a reaper and a gleaner. He said, every rowing then, you'll get that after a while, every rowing then, you drop her a handful on purpose. In other words, give her something so she can have a sheaf. Give her something so she can have a wave offering. You say, where are you going? Give me a second and I'll tell you. You remember the law of the sheaf or the wave offering? They would go out into the field on the first day and they would get handfuls at a time. And each handful would go into the sheaf. And then they would get back to the master's house. They would pull out one handful, which is one sheaf, and they would wave it before the Lord as a wave offering to thank God for what he has done. Well, glory, she's never had nothing to thank God for. She ain't never had a sheaf. She ain't never had a handful. But all of a sudden now, she starts in this field. She don't find a little grain, and a little grain. For the first time in her life, she's got her handful. She's got her first sheaf. And I can see her up at the big house, waving that handful, waving that sheaf, saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to say I didn't have anything, but praise God, he saw me. He favored me. And now I got me a handful of blessing and a handful of joy. I got me some sheaves, and I think I'll wave mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? It's satisfied her present. Woo! When he reached across that table. Number three, it not only was a reach that shattered her past, satisfied her present, but when he reached across that table, it secured her future. Woo! She has no companion. She has no lover. But she's about to be brought in to one. Now, there were three qualifications you had to meet to be a beloved, a kinsman redeemer. Number one, you had to have the means. Number two, you had to be in the right bloodline. But number three, you had to be willing. When I saw this the other day, I like to tore the walls in my study down. Did you know in the book of Ruth there are two kinsmen redeemers? Now you hyper boys, don't die on me right here. Somebody said, isn't that pitiful? Ruth could have got in, Orpha couldn't. She had to go back. Wrong again. You're wrong every time. When you go to messing with the free grace of God, you done messed up again. Orpha could have got redeemed. She could have got restored. There was one for her too. And if there's anybody in this building tonight that dies without God and goes to hell, it won't be God's fault. It won't be Jesus' fault. It'll be your mistake. Woohoo! There was a nearer kinsman. And Boaz said, well, we got to ask him first. They went and asked that near a kinsman and said, will you buy Naomi? She's in your bloodline. It's your responsibility. He said, sure I will. Be glad to. They said, but wait a minute. There's a package deal. You got to buy Ruth too. You can't forgive one sin without forgiving the other. I'm about to run again. You gotta buy it all or you don't buy none. Glory. Somebody hold my baby while I shout. I'm an old-fashioned independent bandit, but sometimes I wish I'd Church of God so I could just shout real good. Woo! You can't buy a woman without buying. You gotta buy them all. And he wasn't willing. He said, I'll take Naomi. But I'm not going to mar my own testimony fooling around with a Moabite Gentile. I'm not going to stoop that low. My religion won't allow it. I said, my God. And Boaz said, glad to hear that. I'll buy it all. He said, I'll buy it all. Woo! I'll buy it all. I'll take Naomi and I'll take Ruth and bless God, whatever comes with it. Thank God, aren't you glad at Calvary? Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. He bought it all. Thank God Almighty for the reach of the grace of God. Woo! And put her in the beloved. God not only gave her a beloved, but God gave her a baby. Ruth and Boaz, young people, got married first. And they had a little baby named Obed. I see Boaz as he's pacing outside of the tent. I don't know if he's smoking or not. You know, I don't know if he was a good man. That handmaiden comes out there and said, you got a boy. Boy, I remember that day. They take that little boy, and Boaz goes in there and says, Ruth, here's a baby. Her name will not die. Glory to God. That ought to make a Yankee from Pennsylvania run three laps. Her name will not die. We're going to live on and on. Woo! And on. And little old Ruth said, I'll tell you what you need to do. Go outside and get my old mother-in-law, who was as broken, destitute, and busted as I was. Bring Naomi in here. Naomi comes in there and she's a squalling. What is it, Ruth? Ruth said, I got us a baby. You just go ahead and take it up into your arms, because we were about dead. But when grace reached me, it brought us new life. Glory, glory, glory. And our name will not perish, but we'll live on and on and on and on. Lord God, I'm about to run three ways to Egypt and back. Praise God, do you remember? I mean, son, you was a half a heartbeat from hell. You were a half a heartbeat from hell. One more heartbeat and you'd have been climbing the smutty walls of a devil's hell. But my God Almighty, when he reached, woo! When he reached, he brought new life. I live forever for the grace of God. It secured my future. He gave her a beloved. He gave her a baby. And then he put her in the bloodline. He put her in the royal family. Excuse me. Woo! God, this is about to eat me alive. And if you're just enjoying it half as much as I am, you're having a time of your life. I feel like I'm swimming in a bowl of gravy. Whew. You say, Reverend Arthur, what do you mean, royal family? Well, Boaz and Ruth, young people, get married first. Have a baby. His name's Obed. Obed grows up, meets some a girl, gets married first, and they have a baby named Jesse. Is that royal enough? Is that royal enough? By God, you ain't seen nothing yet. Woo! And Jesse grows up and meets him a girl and they get married first. And they have a whole bunch of babies. And one of them's name, David. You may know him as the giant slayer, or you may know him as the sweet singer of Israel, but they knew him as the greatest king by God they ever had. Oh, glory. Is that royal enough? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. And they begit 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 and they begot, they begit and they begot and they begit and they begot. And one day it really got to be getting and begotten. And this angel come down from the glory world. I'm about to get the blind staggers, Lord of God. Woo! This angel came down from the glory world and said to Mary, oh, tonight I've brooded over you. Just like I did over creation in Genesis. Yeah. Just like I did over the valley of dry bones. Yeah, man. Just like I did over the body of the Lord Jesus. Just like I'm going over Ray Stewart when I save him by grace. And I'm impregnating your virgin womb with the sinless seed of the eternal God of ages. And that which is in you is of the Holy Ghost. And his name shall be called Jesus. And his name shall be called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, 400 years of silence. Then you come to the Gospel of Matthew, the genealogy, the family tree of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. And by the time you get to the fifth verse, By the time you get to the fifth verse, oh Jesus, Lord, Lord, Lord. By the time you get to the fifth verse, God's grace has done reached so far that it takes a crooked stick and draws a straight line. And my God, you ain't gonna believe it. But in verse number 5, look at the family tree. You'll find Boaz of Rahab. Is that royal enough? Someone said, why do you think Boaz showed such mercy on a stranger? He knew what it was like. My God, he knew what it was like. Lord, have mercy, can I have 5 more minutes? I'll pay you if you'll give me 5 more minutes. Glory to God. You hear me? You do know who Rahab was, don't you? Oh, she was a harlot. And she ran a prostitute house on the side of the wall of the city that was doomed for destruction. But she said to them, servants of the Lord, I've heard about your God, and I heard what he did to the Egyptians at the Red Sea, and I don't want that to happen to me. Hebrews 11 said, by faith, bless God, same way you got in, by faith. She said, remember me. And they said, we will. You go up and get some of that flax that's dried. Wound it up into a cord. Dip it in that little squash bug that grows on the side of the tree where we get the dye scarlet. And you hang the scarlet cord out the window. And when everything around you's falling and everything around you's burning, hey, you'll be all right behind the scarlet line. Oh, you do know the sequence of events. They came in and the walls fell, but she was taken outside of the city. And as soon as she got outside of the city, they burned her to the ground. The fire fell. Not while she was in. Not when she was in, but when she got outside of the city, the fire fell. And after she got out, the fire fell in. She went to a wedding and had a son named Boaz. Praise God, aren't you glad? The grace of God can reach so far. It'll take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. Now Boaz meets a stranger. Somebody as low down and worthless as his mama was. But he probably appreciated somebody having mercy on mama. He's going to have mercy on somebody who's in the same shape his mama was. And they have him a boy named Obed, and Obed has Jesse, and Jesse has David. So therefore, that makes Ruth the great-grandmother of King David. Is that royal enough? Can't you see David in his kingdom? The servant comes. David, there's a little old woman out there on a cane wanting to see you. And I told her you didn't have time for people like that. He said, who was it? She said something about her name was Ruth. He said, let her in. She's in the family. Woo! Is that royal enough? But wait a minute. You've got Rahab in that bunch. You've got Ruth in that bunch. But on the other side of the begotten of the Lord Jesus, there was some more begotten and begetting. There was some more generating and some more regeneration. And one day, the same seed and the same bloodline and the same grace of God reached into your life, put you in God's family. Now, my name's in the book. My name's in the tree. My name's in the family. I'm a royal descendant. I'm in the bloodline. How in the world causes grace? I'm stuck on it. Reached. Pulled her out of her past. Placed her in her present. And said, look at her, baby doll. You got a future. You know, they said about Cinderella and Snow White and Beauty and the Beast. And they lived happily ever after. But they didn't. Because it's just a story. Ruth and Boaz didn't even live happily ever after because they had to go by the way of the grave. Oh, but me and Jesus, as we sail through the sky, they'll say, you know what? They're going to live happily ever after. And when I fall before him, in the presence of his glory, I might even do like Ruth. Why? I wasn't one of y'all. I wasn't like y'all. I was a stranger. And that same hand that reached her parched corn will reach her across the heavenly table and wipe the tears from our eyes. And as he reaches across that table to wipe the tears from my eyes, his garments is going to pull up on his arm. And I'm going to say, Jesus, where did you get those wounds? He said, boy, I got them that day when my grace reached this wide and was nailed to a cross so I could save sinners like you. No wonder John saw him casting crowns. I said, no wonder John saw him casting crowns at the feet of him that sat upon the throne, saying, worthy, worthy, worthy. Aren't you glad one day the grace of God, it reached you? No, I'll just admit it before I quit. Whoo! I am not what I ought to be. But I'm not what I used to be. And by the good grace of God's reaching hand, I'm not what I'm going to be. For his grace reached you and me. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood has cleansed every stain. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can see. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Now I am a child with a heavenly home. My holy Father has made me His own. Now I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed in His love. And someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood has cleansed every stain, and praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I said, praise God, praise God, praise, one more time, praise God, praise God, praise God, woo! Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King, because He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. For something wonderful happened, yeah. And now I know He touched me and made me whole. I'm done, but on my way to my seat, you remember when He reached down His hand for you? Well, glory, hallelujah, amen. Don't you think we ought to reach up our hands to God? Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord. Hey, oh Lord. Oh my, oh my. He reached down to you, let's reach up to Him. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. And thank You, Lord, for making me. Reach up to Him, reach up to Him. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me. Here it is. My great salvation, so rich and free. One time, let's lift them up and say, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Turn around to your neighbor and say, He reached down and I reached up. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the depths of the pit, I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch Him. There in my despair, I cried so loud, yet it seemed He didn't hear me. Lost and undone, full of sin, and so corrupt, God's hand reached further down than I could reach up. Like a man locked up in prison with no one to go my bail. Every time I sought for freedom, all endeavors only failed. There I was in sin's dark dungeon, bound in chains of misery, till the Lord paid me a visit, unlocked my cell, and set me free. Sing it with me. From the depths of the pit, I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch him. There in my despair, I cried so loud, yet it seemed he didn't hear me. Lost and undone, full of sin, and so corrupt, God's hand reached further down than I could reach up. Let's reach up one more time and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just wave at him, say, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah, glory. If I wasn't worried, I'd preach about another hour, thank God. Aren't you glad his grace reached us? Let's reach a prayer one more time. That feels so good, glory to God. You say, I don't feel like doing that. You go ahead and start. You'll feel like it in just a minute. Hallelujah. Turn around to your neighbor and say, when he reached down and I reached up, praise God. Woo! I'm done. Woo! Hallelujah.